Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Anyone who's ever experienced a migraine can tell you that it's not merely just a headache. It's actually an assault on the whole body, and its debilitating effect really impacts every aspect of who you are, mentally, emotionally, physically, energetically. It's just like nothing is connecting, nothing is talking. It's like your brain wants to explode, and yet in other parts of your body, it's like it's not even getting the messages. Interesting way to start the show, isn't it? Well, that's my topic today. It's actually on migraines. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic today is from a listener, Mary from Michigan. Thanks very much, Mary, for this suggestion on the show. Mary emailed me about a friend who frequently suffers from migraines and wanted to know if I had any suggestions on how to help him, or also how I see migraines and headaches in the energy body and mapping it in the aura. So what I'm going to be doing is discussing throughout today's show is how, as a medical intuitive, I actually see the origin side of migraines in the energy field, chakra system, as well as sharing some of the hidden psychological messages that I consistently get when I work with people with migraines. That's one of the interesting things that I've found about my work, is that it seems like it runs in cycles. There may be something that is, I'm reading in the newspaper that we're having an epidemic of, or more people are experiencing and so forth. And I always book my readings a month in advance, and lo and behold, whatever seems to appear in the papers seems to also appear in my list of names of people that I'm going to be doing reading with. And I found this ever since I started doing readings. And one of the things that I found consistently with illnesses such as diabetes or migraines or cancer or autoimmune disorders is that while we're all very unique, we're all very different, we have, of course, a lot of different conditioning. Our cultures are different. The foods that our body are accustomed to is very different. But the reality of it is, when you go beyond all of that physical and you really get into that psychological part, illnesses have their own story. And in that story, they come up in metaphors. And those are the metaphors that, as a medical intuitive, when I actually go in and start connecting with someone to do a reading, I can go in via the physical body. I mean, we have to do that just enough to be able to associate the name with the person, but then go in at an energetic level, and then you get to go in, and now the cells, the aura, the information that's held within the body, also the soul letting me know that there's areas of blockage, congestion, maybe there's thoughts or emotions that are blocking it, and it just starts to talk. And it talks to me in the form of metaphors. And one of the things I like to do as a medical intuitive when I'm doing readings, and also if you're a listener, regular listener on my show, you know this, and familiar with my teleclasses that I do, I always share what those metaphors are. And that's something I'm going to be doing today as well, because I found that in order for us to truly heal, while the body's always in a healing process, even when it is literally overwhelmed with disease and illness in the body is still doing what it's designed to do, and that's seeking healing. And it's always trying to correct the problem. What I found as a medical intuitive is if I really share with someone a comprehensive picture of what's going on, the reality of it is we can address the issue either physically or emotionally, or these metaphors and stories, and see, are we saying these to ourselves? Are we living our life to where it's hard? That always ends up, can be a plaque buildup in the arteries and so forth. So the metaphors really help. And when you have a picture of what's going on from so many different levels, now you're really in control. Now you're able to jump in and start to really work with the different illnesses in a way that you can begin the healing process where you feel that you have the most power to make a difference in what's happening in your body. So today I'm going to be doing that and sharing that with migraines. And I want to thank you, Mary, for your suggestion. I hope that you and your friends, and then all of you that are listening to today's show, are going to find the information of value. If you do have a suggestion for me about a show, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then click on the suggestion type in your suggestion. And then if I use the suggestion on air, as I did with Mary, I will be sending you an autographed copy of my book, Healing Happens With Your Help, where I actually go in and map emotions in the muscles and organs and glands, and then also the fears in the spine. Again, it's trying to offer you a holistic perspective, a comprehensive perspective of what's happening in your body. I'm also going to be taking your calls today and sharing my medical intuitive skills. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada. Same for international callers. Of course, all you have to do is dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. Also wanted to let you know that my May Your Health Teleclass audio and printable PDFs are now available for purchase on my website at www.ritberger.com. The topic for May was asthma, and I received an email from a listener yesterday that said to me, she says, what do you do with asthma when you're caught in the middle of the smoke of a forest fire? And then I found out that she was from Arizona, which is experiencing a lot of different forest fires, and the best thing I can say then is stay inside. But in this particular case, I do, again, a holistic perspective of asthma, and I have a try before you buy. If it's something that you're interested in, maybe you or a friend or a loved one suffers from asthma and you're not sure whether the information is really something that maybe they're open to or that can really be of value to them, you can always go in and listen to a brief excerpt of the audio download and then also read a page of the PDF, and it'll give you a sense of flavor of what the different downloads have. I have 25 different, I think it's 25 different downloads now at this time on a variety of illnesses, fibromyalgia, breast cancer, that's a free audio and PDF download, also prostate cancer, headaches, as I'm going to be talking about today. So just a lot of information there. And again, I look at it from a conventional medicine, psychological, energetic, map it in the chakras if you're an energy worker, the role personality plays in it, and then how do you treat that particular illness via conventional medicine, and then just a myriad of alternative choices. So again, if you're interested in purchasing the teleclass from May on asthma, www.ritberger.com. Well, let me begin by saying in this particular case, in migraines, and then I'm going to add, in fact, all headaches actually are physical in origin. What I mean by that is that yes, there are psychological stressors that we have to live with on a daily basis, but I've found as a medical intuitive, when I'm dealing with headaches and I'm dealing with migraines in particular, we really have to go in and start at the origin, and that's the physical. In that physical part of it, what we have to look at is what is going on with our gut. And what I mean by that is I'm looking at the entire digestive system. That's where I find as a medical intuitive all headaches begin, all migraines begin, and where really all headaches end as well. So again, while I look at so many things as a medical intuitive from that psychological perspective, this particular thing when it comes to the actual chemistry and balance in the brain that's responsible for headaches, while the precursor is stress, the bottom line of it is that we have to literally look at it physically in the brain, the chemistry, and then stress in this case is the outcome. The cause is what's happening in the brain. In the case of a migraine, we have throbbing and aching pain, and this is one of the things I found is really interesting to help people differentiate between a migraine and a headache. You really have to look at what the symptoms are. So in the case of a migraine, there's throbbing and aching pain on one side of the head, coupled with nausea, visual disturbances. A lot of people will actually see an aura. They'll have a difficult time being able to maybe focus. Also, there can be a predisposition for dizziness. And so a tension headache, if we had that, you'll feel it in the temple area, but it doesn't have that necessary, that throbbing. It just feels like maybe your head is in a vise. But when we get into the migraines, now we start getting this throbbing. What has been found is that migraines are caused by a deficiency in the serotonin that actually alters the physiology of the blood vessels. And what that means is that this serotonin imbalance literally causes the blood vessels to constrict. The brain's going, help me, I need blood. the brain reads it from the standpoint that, oh my goodness, I really need to deal with this, and it opens up the blood vessels, and now we have the rush of blood. So in the case of a migraine, we have that constriction where it's like, oh my gosh, not much, and then, oh my goodness, what do I do with all of this? And so what occurs is it changes the dilation and the activity of the blood vessels. It also increases the flow of the pain receptors. Serotonin is a neurotransmitter. That neurotransmitter has a lifeline, a pipeline, a quick activity to get to the brain that says to the brain, we have a problem, and that problem needs to be solved immediately. And then also what I find is that when the serotonin changes, it changes the pH of the blood, also weakens the immune system. That's why in many cases the gut gets out of balance pH. That throws the pH of the immune system off. That throws off the pH in the blood, and then ultimately it throws off the pH in the cerebral spinal fluid. And now what we have as a result of all of that is that we have this headache that's debilitating that can actually last for maybe an hour to several hours to even several days. Some of the contributors of migraines we know are genetic, and that's something that we really have to look at, again, looking at the physiology of the migraine itself, looking at the DNA. And one of the things that I can tell you is in the mitochondria of your cells, that DNA of your mother is passed into that mitochondria of every cell in your body. So if there's a genetic predisposition for headaches on your mother's side, whether it's your mother or your grandmother or your great-grandmother, then we have to really go in and look at the contributors to someone who has migraines to see, is it a history, genetic history. We also have to be very sensitive to food allergies. Any kind of MSG or additive allergies, anybody that has migraines should not do aspartame or any artificial sweeteners. And I'm not anti-sweeteners at all, so please don't, feel like they are really, I'm not saying they're really bad for you, but I'm just saying in the case of migraines, you want to stay away from all artificial sweeteners, including even Splenda. And then what you want is you also want to look at a calendar. If you find that your migraines are cyclic in nature, then it may be tied to the hormones. This is both for male and female. Females actually are 4 times more likely to have migraines than males. But again, we do have some males that have them. Again, it comes back to hormone. In females, there can be a propensity for migraines if someone is estrogen dominant. Also, weather changes have a big thing to do with, they have impact the migraines itself, and then also elevated levels of hormones, and primarily if you're in a chronic stress state, then we have a higher level of cortisol, and a lot of the latest research is showing that people who have this elevated level of cortisol in the body has a higher predisposition to headaches, and in fact, higher predisposition to migraines as well. Some of the metaphors that I find as a medical intuitive that surround migraines are feeling left in the dark about what's happening around you, feeling restricted because there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty in your life, feeling stuck and unsure of the direction to move forward in your life, feeling overwhelmed and overloaded, and find yourself complaining about always having too much to do. Now, in that particular case, in that last one, overwhelmed and overloaded, we could look at that as stress, but again, there's something in the brain that causes the stress to where a person isn't able to literally cope with what's going on with all the tasks. In looking at the psychological and behavioral connections with migraines, there's certain behavioral characteristics that seem to increase a person's chance of suffering from migraines. And in that particular case, what we have is some of these characteristics are continual anxiety, over-ambitious, hard-charging, self-critical, sensitive to criticism, suffer a lot from self-rejection and rejection from others. They tend to internalize their emotion. They're eager to please, and they have an inability to control their anger. Now, in reality, people who express their angers by blowing off the steam tend to, when they really have that volatile outburst, tend to not have the hormonal changes in their body that seem to become chronic. They just literally have that stress. They express it. It may not be, favorable to the person that's the deer in headlights that get hits with it. But the reality of it is we're better off finding constructive ways to be able to express ourselves emotionally, and especially anger, than we are in keeping it bottled in. Some of the other behavioral characteristics are strong feelings of not being emotionally supported, fear of abandonment, inability to adapt to change, and then also, as I mentioned, being overwhelmed by the responsibility of life. So you can see that when we start to look at something like migraines, yes, we have to look at the physical. We have to look at all these components. And then what we can do is then we can step into the place of choosing where do we feel that we have the most power to make the difference, meaning where can we gain control of our bodies in that area. For example, if it's around migraines tied to food allergies, then I encourage people to go get allergy testing or to be able to keep a daily diary of the foods that you put in your mouth so you can differentiate your food triggers. And then once you do that, then you can start the process of eliminating those food triggers, and it's amazing what can happen from a migraine standpoint. Next segment, I'm going to be talking some more about migraines, but what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to jump right in, and let's go ahead and take line one, Jessica from Nevada City, California. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Carol. How
Hi,
are you?
Hi, honey. I am good, but you know what? I have to say with great love, you're kind of scattered, my dear.
Well, I talked to you in October and did not realize that when I talked to you that my marriage was on the precipice of dissolving, and mm-hmm. my husband was sleeping with someone else, and for the last 8 months have been really recovering
from the
unexpected shift and just really moved into a space I'd never been in my life before.
Mm-hmm.
So I have took a journey of self-compassion and self-love and have been working very diligently to face all of the nooks and crannies that I needed to look to see where I was sort of abandoning myself and my marriage. And I feel like I've done a pretty good job doing it.
You have.
I feel really, truly like I'm a different person since the last time I talked to you.
Yes.
And I've moved. Well, just lots of things have happened. And so now it's been almost 8 months, and it's been a tremendous amount of highs and lows and the kind of grief that I didn't even think I could get through or I expected. And I'm coming out a little bit on the other end, and I feel so transformed by this experience that now I'm looking at, well, I have a food blog, I'm a nutritionist, I do lots of things with local farms, and I have a really interesting life.
I remember you very, very well.
Yes, I was the one who had all the fun things that happened with my eyesight.
Exactly.
Yes.
I had to see things different.
Pardon?
You had to see things different, huh, honey?
I never thought that I could see things so differently. And now, where at first I had so much anger about the betrayal that I was facing, now I almost feel feelings of thankfulness to my husband, because I feel like so much of the support I'm getting in my life now was actually a gift that he was sort of giving me, this reality that I was creating to really step into an authentic me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was calling because now that I'm feeling more able to move through this and try to support myself and my daughter, my husband is supporting us also. But I would like to really make a career out of this and feel like I have a lot that I can pull from this experience of self-forgiveness, self-compassion. And really that I came to the conclusion that every single disruption in our lives are to get us into our loving. And that I can try to figure out how to make a career out of that. So I was calling to talk to you about that.
Good.
And because I'm trying to start a blog about living in grace and trying to invite people to share their stories so that people who are going through these kinds of processes can feel inspired to get through them and really see that everything that happens in our life is a forward motion to opening our hearts. So
Absolutely.
I feel a little scared because it's not like a regular job where I can go out and be a nurse and have a 9-to-5 thing. And
yeah, but
I also feel really drawn that this kind of work is very powerful and could help a lot of people. I was wondering if you have any insights about writing a book or helping people, or, you know, where the light is behind more of a direct path that I could, you know, kind of dig my feet into a little bit more.
Very good. And remember when I first started listening to everything, and thank you for sharing that. I know that so many of us now can relate to this reinventing, rebuilding, regenerating, rejuvenating everything that's the energy that's going on now. And remember I said to you when I first started, sweetie, you feel a little scattered to me. So let's put that little bit of scatter into a place where you can really be grounded. The message, you have the name of your book. And the name of your book is the one that you said about, and I'm sorry, it just went out the door, but the key word was grace. You mentioned a blog and you said Finding Grace. Is that what it was?
But I did name the blog, and it's called The Grace Lab, like a laboratory,
Perfect. But The Grace Lab. Good. So there's your key word, grace.
Yes.
Anything that you do, the vibration of grace, the word grace, is vibrationally neutral. What that means is it has no charge. It's easily interpreted by any person exactly where that person is at that present moment in their thinking, in the connection with their body, and what they're feeling emotionally. It's one of those reverence words in the universe that basically is so benign that anybody that hears the word literally can embody it, process it, contemplate on it, reflect it on it, and to be able to find their own answers. So you have the key word. So one of the things that I want to say to you, as I said, you felt a little scattered. In your third chakra, that personal power chakra in the solar plexus, that's where we literally hold our expression at a soul physical level. It is literally the plug that allows us as a physical being to have a spiritual experience, as a spiritual being to have a physical experience. In that process, especially when we experience betrayal in life, and it can be, you know, as significant as your betrayal, or it can be just something that's a minor betrayal, it makes no difference. It takes that part of who we are, that part that we plug that physical and spiritual together, and it causes that plug to start to loosen. And it sometimes, and people will feel like it's completely unplugged, it never really is, but what it can do is it can loosen enough that the physical cannot be able to find the comfort, the wisdom, and the direction in the spiritual, nor can the spiritual find with the word grace of how to ground it in the physical world. Mm-hmm. So having said all that, when I said you felt scattered, what I would like you to do is to visualize that that plug in that third chakra, your personal power, your expression, the ability to spiritually bring forward in physical words what you desire to do to make a difference in this world. I want you to visualize plugging yourself back in very, very strongly, very lovingly, strongly, meaning be sure that that female and male part of the plug is well seated. Do it with great love. You've really mastered ritual. This is something that you'll want to also include in your blog, is the importance of ritual, whether it's working with nutrition, eating, whatever it is. Everything we do in our life, this conversation right now is ritual. And if we can look at things that way, then we stop looking for that big one ritual or that big one thing in our life, and then we can live our lives authentically every day, every minute. So when I felt you being scattered, that's the only part. We just need you to visualize plugging yourself in and then being able to move it forward. There are things that you can do. From the standpoint, a blog is a fabulous way to start the process and the dialogue. You have a Facebook page?
Going to do that.
Go ahead, sweetie.
I have a Facebook page for my food blog.
Okay, very good.
I'm going to do one for this one too.
Perfect. That's what I would do. And then what you want to do is you want to use that Facebook as building your fan base or your base, and then also interactive, ask people for a lot of information. They will flesh out your book for you, honey.
Because seeing it, imagining it, that it would be an experiment of uncovering other people's stories of how they got through something that was really difficult, actually going out and interviewing people.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so those are the things you want to be able to do that. Now, the nice part of all that is that it's the universe is supporting this tremendously with the time that we're in right now. You couldn't have, your timing is, you know, maybe as Unfortunate as it seems at the time, you kind of fell into the rabbit hole about all this. Really couldn't have been better from the standpoint of where we are in this shifting of consciousness from fear-based to being enlightened, meaning we're touching that enlightenment within us on a moment-to-moment basis. So from that standpoint, works very well. So now, but we need to do, because all that takes a lot of time, takes a lot of energy, and it's going to take some financial backing in order to be able to support it as well. Very fortunate and very good of your husband to be able to help you to some degree. But, sweetie, you've got a wonderful background in food. Why don't you consider, as you're fleshing this out and putting kind of the bigger picture, seeing this almost what I want to say done, is what kind of stores or food companies would be able to support what you do from your background, and then go after sponsorship and look after funding?
On the blog.
Okay. You can do it on the blog and then go do it in person. Jessica, your energy, sweetie, is so authentic that you could go in and, you know, you could talk to mountain people, because I live in Cameron Park, California. For all of you that are all over the world, that's where I live. And so you have mountain people. You have a lot of places that would really be able to support what you're bringing forward. You could do something called almost like a co-op advertising, where you could get multiple people that complement this healing process, this grace process, and how you see it, and then they will contribute financially. That's something that you can also do. The book's definitely there. I mean, you've already got the title.
So you think that there's light behind this idea, and that I could financially support myself? It would be successful.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm going to say something to you, really honest, is that anybody, and this is something that Reed Tracy from Hay House told me very early on, and at the time I really didn't understand what he was talking about. But one of the things any of you, and sweetie, especially with you, because you're on my line with me, is you don't write a book to get rich. You write a book to create and develop this aura around you of being an expert and being authentic and a voice that needs to be heard. It becomes a business card. And then that business card opens the door for you to be able to get on radio talk shows. It opens the door for you to be able to submit articles to other people's blogs. There's also articles that you can send out of, you know, different companies or sites that could really find value in what you do, and you can write an article or something about this or about the premise of your book, and you can send it out. Don't charge them anything. Make it go viral, and then somebody will pick it up, and then next thing you know, then you get more people visiting your blog and visiting the work that you came here to do. So in the book, look at the book as your business card. It's your calling card. It's the thing that gets you foot in the door and gets you the visibility you're looking for. And then what that does is that creates residuals from other things that you'll want to sell, maybe classes that you'll want to do, also maybe other products that you'll just, it'll start to mushroom very clearly. And then one of the other things is that where you're going with this, that you feel with me, honey, is this is really grounded. This is, you know, it blends in that esoteric metaphysician part of it, but it also has a lot of foundational everyday, you know, coping and living and with reality and changing and all the different things that we want so much right now in this tipping point where we are energetically. So what you have is you also have something that might be of great value to corporations, that maybe they will come in and want to bring you in to talk about this whole process of grace. And while we think of corporations not doing that, that's the old thinking. Many of them are. And honey, they pay wonderful fees on a daily basis for you to do this work. So yes, there's a lot of ways that you can support yourself financially. If you have the picture of what those possibilities are, then it makes it easier for you to step into those possibilities without that fear that you're going to starve to death in the process.
Right.
Everything has changed. You can do this work. You can do it authentically. And we can support ourselves as we do this work. And we don't have to go back and, you know, wait for the donations and wait for the contributions. Those are all wonderful. But we really have to do this work where we're not looking over our shoulder wondering how we're going to pay our bills. So do believe all those things, yes.
And I feel like now I've sort of come out of this relationship that was really, wasn't a container that was big enough to hold my heart.
Absolutely.
And I wish my husband well. But I also am hoping that all of this is going to, that I'm going to get the relationship journey that I'm so excited about. So that was the other question that I had is there going to be a man who can meet me?
Yes, the difference is you're going to get to choose which one you want. The reality of it is your heart is the world's.
Yeah.
And if you open that heart up and the authenticity of who you are and the passion and the desire and what you've learned and share your stories and get others to share their stories, you'll have people coming after you, and then you'll have to decide, is this really what you want now? Is it really what you want in the future? And does this person or these people fill your heart? Are they partners? Are they partners where both people can be vulnerable, both people can love and be open? So, yes. Yes, yes, yes to everything. Main thing is, as sweetie has just visualized this final little thing. The plug is there. It's not unplugged. If you just visualize this being plugged in and you hold that,
okay.
Anytime you get into a place of questioning, just see it plugged in. That visual is very, very powerful. Then it's just a process of executing, sweetie. That's really it.
Really excited.
You should be. And you know what? I feel very, I would like to support you in any way that I can. So keep me in the loop and reach out to me and let me see what I can do to help you as well.
It makes every moment in our life worth living.
It does. It does. It just depends on how you choose to see life. Do you see it
yes.
through grace or do you see it through suffering? And
the
those two are
ours.
Absolutely opposite. And grace always trumps suffering, and suffering goes away. So anyway, thanks very
Thank
much.
You.
I appreciate it, Jessica. Anything that
so
I can
much,
do,
Carol.
Just keep me in the loop, sweetie.
Thank you, Carol.
You are most welcome. All right, let's go ahead and jump into a commercial break. I'll be right back and talk a little bit more about migraines and what we can do to manage them and eliminate them. Stay tuned.
Your chance to be part of the show. Call 877-230-3062. Call in with your questions or thoughts and talk with the host and their guest. Again, that number is 877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I'm talking about migraines and how these You know, unrelenting headaches can literally change our life. And I'm talking a lot about the hidden meanings and how, as a medical intuitive, I actually see migraines in the energy field itself. I'm also going to be taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. So if you have a question for me about your health, or if you were listening to the show as my last listener about a direction that you are going to want to go in your life, I'm very good at that. The only thing I've found is I'm not very effective in telling you what you're going to be when you grow up. I think I'm going to continue that my entire life, trying to figure that out. But if you do have a question for me about your health or a question in general, you can call me at 1-877-230-3062. As I mentioned also in the earlier segment, I do have a teleclass audio and PDF downloads of 25 different illnesses. I look at them from a holistic perspective, again, offering a very comprehensive overview of how you can approach the healing process with any of the different ailments. I do have a PDF and an audio download on a teleclass that I did on migraines and headaches. It's actually an audio class on and teleclass on headaches where migraines are included in it. And they are available for purchase on my website at www.ritberger.com. Just go to the home page, click on the up at the top of the tabs, run the cursor over teleclass. You'll see a drop-down menu. It'll give you a whole picture of all each of the different teleclasses I have. And then just click on headaches, and again, there's a try before you buy. What I found as a medical intuitive is that all headaches, but specifically migraines, to the extent in which they actually impact the body, are actually found in the digestive system, in that third chakra, the solar plexus of the body. And what I find is it has to do with the pH balance first and foremost in the physical body. People who tend to run more acidic in their pH tend to have a higher predisposition for migraine headaches. Also, the migraine headaches are, the adrenals are involved. Those adrenals are very, very reactive to the hypothalamus. Hypothalamus in the brain is responsible for the production, the secretion of serotonin, also works with the basal ganglia with dopamine and DOPA. And it's the combination of the serotonin deficiency and the way that the brain chemistry changes that causes the adrenal glands to go into that state of fight or flight. We're not really sure what it's supposed to be in fight or flight about, but what it does based on the neurotransmitters of serotonin is that it goes into this fight or flight, causes the blood vessels to constrict. The brain gets the message there's a problem, causes the blood vessels to dilate. And now what we have is we have that flow of blood where we're actually getting too much blood, too little blood, too much blood back and forth. The third chakra is the energetic center of our personal power. And anytime we experience feelings of being out of control or helpless or overwhelmed, or we deal with betrayal, whether it's self-betrayal or betrayal with others, what I find is that part of the energy field immediately becomes affected. The energy in the area becomes congested. The colors in that particular area, because I'm able to literally see the aura all the time. I'm like a human thermography imaging process. And I find that the colors, instead of being well-defined, are very, very muddy. And the colors that I find specifically is red. That lets me know that I have a lot of activity in the area. Orange lets me know there's a psychological undertone to it. And then brown lets me know that we have an imbalance in that area that's actually causing this, that's actually reflecting the major chemistry in the chemistry imbalance in the body itself. When we experience stress in this chakra, it affects the stomach. That creates nausea. The liver creates too much acid, also glucose. The adrenals create too many stress hormones, causes the blood vessels to constrict. The pancreas changes the insulin output, which then affects the serotonin levels even more in the brain. And with all of this dynamics, again, looking at migraines physically, the result is we get a migraine headache. So if I were to actually map a migraine in the body, it would be that it begins in the stomach adrenals, moves to the brain and affects the serotonin, and then moves down to the pancreas, and that affects the glucose and insulin, and then it causes the body to become assaulted in three areas: mentally, assaulted in the stomach and adrenals, emotionally pancreas, and physically brain serotonin. So what can you do to be able to help with migraines. Many people have to be on medication. That's something that the only way that they can deal with it. One of the things we have to be mindful of is that medication tends to be acidic in nature. So if you're going to be on any kind of medication for migraines, you will want to do something to alkalize your digestive tract. That can be probiotics. It can be digestive enzymes. There can be certain foods that you can eat or not eat. Again, looking at triggers. But here's some of the things that I found that really helps eliminate or manage or relieve migraines. Mindful breathing. One of the things that occurs when the blood vessels constrict is we basically hold our breath and stop breathing. So we can literally get in our skin, calm ourselves down by getting into the natural rhythm of our breathing and then just being mindful of every breath that we inhale, every breath that we exhale. Drinking ginger tea helps, meditation helps, yoga helps. And then what I find is that visualization also helps tremendously. And that visualization can be done through guided imagery or just visualizing that the headache is gone, seeing the energy flowing from the crown of the head all the way down through the torso, breaking at the first chakra, going down the legs all the way to the balls of the feet, and actually seeing the energy that comes in from our higher self through our physical self actually going out through the toes. Also, you can look at Reiki, Tai Chi, and Qigong. Those are all very, very helpful in dealing with migraines. Just a brief snippet. Again, if you're interested in learning more about alternative choices for headaches and migraines, then I encourage you to go and to consider purchasing my audio or PDF download of headaches, www.ritberger.com. Mary, thank you so much for the suggestion for the show. It's really been a lot of fun to share this and to share it from a medical intuitive perspective. And as I mentioned before, if you do have a suggestion for a show, then you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and click on suggestion. And then I will be more than happy to look at fitting it into my show schedule. Let's go ahead and finish out the show right now by taking some more calls. Hi, Cheryl. How are you, hon?
Hello.
Hello. Nice to call. Nice for you to call me from Canada.
Oh, I've been a long-time podcast listener, but today I was able to tune in, and I'm so pleased to speak to you in person.
Thank you. How can I help you?
Well, my issues this lifetime seem to be my physical body. I've been dealing with allergies and digestive issues for most of my life. It's manifested in skin issues and lung problems. Right now, I'm really quite healthy because of all the work I've done. Mm-hmm. But my naturopath is concerned about my blood sugar issues now. And I've been tracking what I'm eating and taking blood sugar readings. And I'm just wondering, am I missing something? Because it seems like even though I'm only eating vegetables and protein and a few fruit, I'm not able to lower my blood sugar like she would wish me to do.
Right. The area for you to focus on that is creating this imbalance starts with your liver?
I've been doing a lot of liver support also.
Okay.
I'm juicing green vegetables every morning now, large green juices with protein powder. I've been concerned about liver issues for the last 10 years and supporting with supplements and just watching. Sometimes I get really good, and then other times I fall off the wagon. And
my gosh, you're actually human. Woo, I love this. we just do that, don't we, honey?
Yeah. So I am aware that my liver does need support, but is there anything I'm missing in all of the things that I'm doing?
Yeah, and no, actually, you're not missing anything. It's just maybe I can connect some dots for you. If I were to go to your liver and then draw a line up to your thyroid, and then from your thyroid go to the left side of the body and draw a line down part of a triangle to your spleen, and then from your spleen over to your liver again, you're going to see there's a triangle there. Those are the three areas for you to focus on. Your thyroid is within the range. It bounces between being a little high and then it seems to plummet down into a little low.
I'm taking thyroid support now because my naturopath thought I might be hypothyroid.
Yeah.
So she's given me something for that too.
So what you have is you have that dynamics, and then what you have is you have the liver dynamics, which you're working on. And both of the things that you're working on, the foods that you're eating, the way that you're eating, and the things that you're doing is trying to stabilize the pH balance. And then what that does is if you draw that line directly across over from the right side of the body, the left side of the body, now what we have is we have stomach and we have part of pancreas. And that pancreas part that is touched in that triangle is the upper lobe, kind of the bulb of the pancreas itself. And that area in the pancreas tends to be where we get caught up in between. I have to do this kind of a woo-woo perspective.
I'm fine with woo-woo.
Yep, I know you are. I love that. Most of my listeners are fine with woo-woo. Anybody that's new, I'm very woo-woo and very scientific. But from this particular standpoint, that part of the pancreas literally is kind of in that area that I call that never-never land, that no-man's land, because when we're really sweet on life, then it functions right. When we become very hard on ourselves or very irritated with ourselves, then it can throw the chemistry off in the pancreas. So when I go in and look at that, think of yourself as that triangle, always working on any part or all parts of the triangle. You can touch any part of the triangle or you can work on all of them simultaneously. One of the things that I find in the liver itself when I go in, and the reason that the pancreas came up and this inner irritation is that I say this with love, but I have to say it, is, you know, sweetie, you are doing everything. And you're doing everything right. And it may not be happening as quickly as you would like it to, but you've been a long time trying to identify who you are. And a long time I keep picking up resentment around yourself, expectations around doing things right, even if they're for the first time. What I might offer to you with great love is to lighten up on yourself every time you get to a place and it's not being fixed. Instead of looking on how to fix it, look at all the things that you're doing. Now, I need to tell you, you just gave me a great gift. This is the way this works. People reach out, I help them, and it's like I hear this voice going, Carol, are you listening? Hello, are you listening? It's like, yes, I heard exactly what I just said to her. Thank you very much. So in this particular case, when I go into the liver and I go to the four lobes of the liver and I go to the upper part of the liver toward the navel of the body, tucked up a little bit underneath the, well, actually it's tucked up underneath that lower rib cage is where we hold self-directed resentment.
Okay.
And in that process, you are doing what's right. You've been a long time out of balance. That doesn't mean it needs to take a long time to get it back in balance. But what it means is being in your skin, giving your body what it needs, letting go of the resentment, finding a way to be able to do that. If it doesn't happen as quickly, it's like, well, it'll happen next time or it'll happen tomorrow. Keep that process going. That will help you. But that's what I'm actually picking up is it's the dynamics between the thyroid, the dynamics between the liver, the dynamics between the pancreas with passion, sweetness of life, and the immune system that's just trying to hold everything together. And the fact that you've had digestive issues, as you said, for a long period of time, that really has a lot of impact on how quickly, honestly, our body can physically manifest what we're looking for. It starts instantaneously, energetically, but it may not happen that instantaneous in what we feel in the physical body.
Okay. Well, that's been grayed out. It's identified the emotion.
Exactly.
That, you know, I had a hint that that might be it, but the word resentment is now it gives me something to focus on and to actually work with. So
absolutely. And, you know, you and I are just like two peas in a pod that way. We just have this unrealistic expectation, especially
yep.
The first time we do anything, it must be perfect.
Yeah, well.
and, you know, we kind of get to visit all the time like it might be good. Yeah, it wasn't as good, but perfect? I mean, really, come on, Carol.
Yeah. Like
come on, Cheryl, sweetie pie. Anyway, so just go in and just doesn't, you know, take a lot of work to be able to do that. But once you become aware of it and then you start to realize and eavesdrop sometime on our self-talk, some of the times you and I say things that are really very acidic to ourselves, don't we?
True.
Yep. So, by the way, the person you're working with, is this actually feels like they've got a lot of medicine behind them. Is this a naturopath or someone?
It's a naturopath and a nutritionist in conjunction, but it's more the naturopath I've been seeing for the last 5 years. And, yes, she seems to be right on. She's exactly working on all of those things that you talked about, the pancreas and the thyroid and the liver. So I'm really happy to hear that I'm on the right track, and I will lighten up.
Absolutely. Oh, I got that. I got that. Thanks, Cheryl. One last reminder for me. I love it, sweetie. Anyway, you are doing everything right. So it's just keep on doing that. So very good. All right, let's jump in and let's try to squeeze in Anna from San Jose. Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Well, my sister, a couple of weeks ago, my dad was had this intuitive feeling that something wasn't right. Mm-hmm. So he and my brother went over, it's about 2 hours away, to Modesto to go check her out, and she was, like, near death.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, they took her to emergency, and apparently they thought she had a stroke. They thought she had mini strokes. So this is kind of all connected to the headache and the, you know, just, like, so when I went to see her, I thought she was seriously 1 second from death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they started doing some transfusions when they figured out it wasn't a heart attack, it wasn't a brain attack, and they keep doing these transfusions, and her platelets will get up to like 200,000 or 100,000, and they'll drop to 9,000.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, her blood is eating itself within a day or two.
Yeah.
They can't get her to the place that she can stabilize enough to go do the big test.
Right.
They've done MRIs, they've done CAT scans, and she sounds, actually I talked to her 2 days ago, she sounded great.
Yeah.
But it's like every day they give her these transfusions and dialysis and all of this stuff.
Right. Okay.
And I let her know if she's tired, and in the conversation you had with your last person really, really, you know, resonated, the whole thing of resentment that she has.
The one thing, there's a couple of things, and I know the doctors are just scurrying. I can just feel them. They're trying to figure out what this is.
Oh, yeah, they cited as a house, you know, the medical program house.
Right.
It's like a house. They don't know what's going on.
Yeah. The first thing I can tell you is that all of this occurred due to a bacterial infection in her body.
Okay.
That infection went systemic. It got into the blood itself. The heart issues I'm picking up was where the heart was being attacked by this infection. The TIAs, they really weren't TIAs. They were more like little mini seizures.
Yeah.
Was where the infection was actually attacking the brain itself.
Right.
The transfusions, until they can get that bacterial infection identified, the transfusions will give her what she's looking for to keep her alive. They've got, it feels to me, they've got to identify the type of bacteria that is invading her tissue that is in her entire body so they can give her almost an antibiotic specifically for that particular strain of bacteria.
Okay, and that was because I had kind of this experience with my dad about 5 years ago. That's what I said. They need to call in the infectious disease doctor.
They do. They do.
You know, or ask to get her sent to Stanford. I mean,
both.
I got the same thing you got, that it was a bacterial infection.
Yeah, it is. And it's still running in her body, and the immune system is still trying to do what it needs to do, meaning that it's trying to create an inflammatory response. And that inflammatory response certainly tries to manage it. That's why, you know, when she gets the infusion, she can hold that high count, and then it plummets. So she's got to do that. One of the things that I'm not picking up that it's multiple myeloma. That's something that I'm sure that they've tested for. It does not feel like it's a form of leukemia that we're dealing with, but we have a bacterial infection, and everything that they're doing until they can find that specific strain, then they've just got to do that before they can start the antibiotics that are needed. And have they put her on antibiotics at all?
No, because they're still trying.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, Annie. You heard that also. I do, sweetie. Follow your intuition on this one, honey. This is very real. That will help you get where you need to. All right. Well, sorry, everybody, to have to cut you off. I mean, I was just having so darn much fun, and my producer said
thank
off
you.
The show. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining me. Please join me again next Wednesday morning. It's been a wonderful, wonderful show.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.